Well, let's go to 1 Samuel. We're going to talk about David a little more this morning. I don't know how long we'll go, but boy, it's a rich place to be at in the Word of God, studying the life of David. I did a little studying yesterday, and it just really kind of floored me. I've made mention to you before that David is a different character in the Bible. There's more detail about his life, his character, everything that happened in his life. We have more detail about him than any other person in the Bible. I got to looking, and I found this out. This is interesting. The name of David is mentioned far more in the Bible than any other name. I mean, not just a little, a lot more. In fact, you can't find many words. I mean, and I'm talking about names of places and people that were mentioned more than the name of David in the Bible. The name of David, there's only one exception. Two if you want to count it that way. But the only exception to the name is the name of God, Israel, and Jesus. If you include the references to Jesus as Lord and Son of Man and all of that, then it's mentioned more. But actually, the name of David is mentioned more than the name of Jesus in the whole Bible. Of course, the name of Jesus is mentioned. Let me follow my notes here. David's name is mentioned 968 times, the name of David. 968 times in the Bible. The son of Jesse, he's called 25 times. So that's 993 times. That's just under 1,000 times that David is named in the Bible. And so here's for comparison. Listen to this. You would think that Abraham would have been mentioned quite a bit more, wouldn't you? 280 times Abraham's mentioned in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. Isaac's mentioned 123 times. Jacob is mentioned 345 times. Moses is mentioned 784 times. As much as Moses was involved in all of the work of God and his long life and the Old Testament, the law, and, you know, he mentioned 200 and some times less than David. Adam, a lot of people put much emphasis on Adam nowadays. You know how many times Adam's mentioned in the Bible? 27 times. 27 times. Compared to 1,000 for David. How many times do you think Eve is mentioned in the Bible? Mother of all living. Anybody got a guess? 4 times. 2 in the Old Testament, 2 in the New Testament. Eve is mentioned 4 times in the Bible. Jesus is mentioned 942 times in the New Testament. So the fact that David was a special man is very clear, just by the sheer number of times that his name is mentioned in the Word of God. So that ought to stand out to you as something important. David was a very special person. And in a much bigger way than we think on the surface and realize. The name of David means well-beloved. I want to talk to you this morning about David the Beloved. David was loved by people. His name means well-beloved. And so people who knew David loved David. Now that's what I've noticed in reading through and reading through and reading through. People who knew him, loved him. You know, I'm going to say this to you. The better you know people, the more you're going to love them, or the more you're not going to love them.
It's true.
To love or hate people or say you do that you do not really know, you really ain't got no business doing that. You're on thin ice doing that. The people who knew David loved David. A lot of these things I'm saying, I just challenge you. Go through and read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Read in the first part of Kings. Read in the Chronicles, the life of David. Anywhere you can find in the Bible and check it out. See if what I'm saying to you is not the truth. People who knew David, loved David. And I'm not talking about just saved people, not just godly people, not just people who were religious. I'm talking about everybody that knew David loved him. And the more intimately they knew him, the more they loved him. Now that's saying something about somebody's character. And you know, the closer you get to somebody and the better you know what they really are and how you feel about them and how you value them speaks of their character and what they really are. Now even Saul, David's worst enemy, loved David. This is a hard one to sort out here, but I'm going to take a shot at it. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Now, we took a verse out of context there and all of that, but we've been through this up before now. As we've been studying the life of David, we've come up to this. And you know if you've been paying attention where that's at. They went and got David to play music for Saul and drive the evil spirit away and all of that. Saul loved David. Saul, in his madness, sought to slay David. But whenever he was in his right mind or anywhere close to it, he loved David. Did you ever know anybody like that? Do you know somebody like that now? Nowadays, they call them bipolar. You know, I got to reinvent everything and rename everything, but it's the same as it's always been. It ain't no new thing. Saul had an evil spirit that troubled him. He had a guilty conscience, and he was a selfish, self-centered person who cared for Saul more than he did anybody else. And so that really creates a conflict in you when you love somebody else, but you love yourself more. You're a messed up soul. And Saul was one of them. You know, real love seeketh not her own. The love of God, the love that's real, that's from God, and based upon God, will make you love others more than yourself. That's what Jesus did. He gave himself for us because he loved us. And he said, a man ought to lay down his life for his friends. So that's what I'm doing, he said. I lay down my life for my friends. Saul wasn't about to do that. Saul was a messed up person. The last words that we know that Saul spoke to David were these. 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 21. This is the last time we talked about it last week, I think, whenever Saul was camped out and David came and walked into the camp and got his spear and his bolster, or his cruse of water, and took off with it, and then called back and said, Abner, what are you doing? Why ain't you taking care of your king? Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And then a few verses down, in verse 25, it says this, Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also thou shalt prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. It's notable here that he called him by his name, David, instead of the son of Jesse. You remember last week I made mention of that to you? That Saul, it was like he almost loathed to say the name David. What does David mean? Beloved. He called him David here. His last words to him. I mean, it signifies, it indicates that that's what Saul's heart was like. It was divided. He loved David. How could he hate him? But yet he felt threatened by him and he feared him and he was envious of him. But still, he couldn't really, really find reason to hate him. Ain't that awful? You know, if you ain't mad already, that'll drive you mad. Trying to sort feelings like that out. But it indicates what was in Saul's heart. He loved David because David was lovable. And that's what I want to get to this morning here. But the conflict in himself because Saul loved himself more was more than Saul could deal with. Even David's enemy, Saul, loved him. I mean, that's what the point I want to make. The Bible says so. Say, how could he do that and want to kill him? Saul was crazy. That's how. He's a madman. And when you get away from God, you're in that kind of territory. You can be a madman real easy. Jonathan loved David. Bible says this. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Remember, we talked about that also. Jonathan and David had that talk, and Jonathan loved David. David was a lovable person. Are you a lovable person this morning? I mean, that's what we ought to take away from this. I mean, I've made the point here already on purpose that David was a special person in the Bible. He's mentioned so many times. I told her on the way to church, and I'll get to it again, but I'm going to jump ahead because I want to grab this. The last mention of David in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 22, about four verses from the last verse in the Bible. And Jesus said this. He said, I am Jesus, the root and offspring of David. Can you figure that one out? The bright and morning star. The root, the beginning. And the offspring is the other. Jesus said, I both was the root of David and I am the offspring of David. Wow. Jesus, the offspring of David. He put David right in the middle of everything. He's an example. He's a man after God's own heart. He was the one God chose because he was a man after his own heart. And he chose him to be the king of Israel forever. Example is the strongest influence. Nothing else is stronger than example. And that's why we're studying about David. That's why we're looking at his life. If you want encouragement, if you want a good example, if you want to know how you ought to live and how you ought to walk, look at David. I mentioned to you last week that Jesus couldn't show us how to repent by example. David did. Oh. So look to David. When you look at a character trait of his like this, people, they didn't just like him, people loved him. He won them in quick order. It didn't take a lifetime. It didn't take a long time of example and bribery and gifts. He didn't do that at all. It was just the kind of a man that he was. People loved him. Even people who were his enemies. Jonathan loved David. All Israel and Judah loved David. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 16, it says plainly, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. That was in the beginning there after he'd slay the giant and he was... And Saul had made him his armor bearer and put him in charge of the army and stuff. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. So everybody liked David. Everybody thought highly of him. Even Saul's servants and all the people of Israel and Judah. Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. 1 Samuel 18, verse 20. See, we're right in the same two, three chapters, and look at all these people that it mentions specifically that loved David. She loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Hiram, king of Tyre, loved David. First Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Bible says this, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon. This is after David's gone. For he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. A foreign king loved David because of the kind of man he was. There's no nonsense in that. Hiram had the highest respect for David. That's what it means. He loved him. He was his friend. So David was one of those rare men who, if you knew him, you loved him. Jesus was that kind of man also. He was. And again, I'll read you this verse, Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He was the root and offspring of David. He was, when the blind men seen him coming, they said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." Why'd they call him that? Because everything was measured from him. All the kings of Israel and Judah from then on were the standard was David. And they were measured by that. How well they measured up to David. And Jesus comes along and says, "I'm the root and the offspring of David. I am where David came from. And I came from David." He identified with David. Jesus did. Ain't that something? Or he identified David with him. Both ways, see? That's pretty amazing. Show me another man in the Bible that God ever exalted to such a state as that. Ever said anything like that about him. Bible said that in the book of Job, we've been reading that, and he said, "Is thou considered my servant Job? A perfect man and an upright." But David, Jesus identified himself with David and identified David with himself. We need to look for what made him that kind of man, and we need to be that kind of person also. So I'm just going to name a few things here and read several verses. And give you something to think about what David was like and why did people love him. I mean, this is pretty elementary stuff, really. Ain't a person sitting here this morning that don't know what it takes for people to love you. So why is it that the world's so full of hatred? And why is it that people sit in church with their heart full of hatred toward other people and ill feelings? Why? I mean, if we kept the very basic moral law of God and loved our neighbor as ourself and loved God above everything, there wouldn't be all this hatred. What did David love? Well, let's think about that. If David was lovable, what did he love? Well, David, first of all, loved the law of God. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The law of God. David loved it. He wasn't like the people of our day who hate it. He didn't reject it. He didn't compromise it. He didn't try to explain it away. He loved it. And he meditated on it day and night. The law of God was what he lived by. We all carry Bibles around, but how many really live by it? How many really love it and believe it and make it the rule of their life and the standard by which they judge everybody and everything and themselves also? Most of the modern religion wants to do away with it. They don't think it even counts anymore. And it does. Yes, sir. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled, said Jesus. So where do they get this idea that the law don't matter anymore and the law is done? It's been fulfilled and done. The ceremonial law has been fulfilled. Not the moral law stands forever. And David, that's what he loved. The law of God. Psalm 119, verse 113, David penned these words, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. You want to get deep in your intellectual thinking and all this? Study the law of God. It's not shallow like these modern novels and movies and Christian so-called books that don't mess with nothing. Study the law of God. Exercise your mind and your intellect. Yes. David said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. He said in verse 163 of Psalm 119, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. So you get the point. David loves the law of God. He's a lovable person. And one of the main attributes of his character and his life, his attitude, his affections, is that he loves the law of God. David was not offended or discouraged by other people and the things they did. He, in 165, 119, 165, you got that, Sam? Yeah, that's another deal. I hate and abhor lying. He said, and then in 165... Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. David was never stumbled because of, he never stumbled because of what somebody else did or didn't do. He loved the law of God. He lived in the law of God. That's what his life operated, that's the realm his life operated in. So he could say, great peace have they which love thy law. I know, I love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. Nothing stopped him. Nothing made him stumble. That's what it means. And David loved the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1. David said this, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Then he said in Psalm 31, verse 23, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. If you love the law of the Lord, and if you love the Lord, you're going to be a person that other people can love. Mark that down. Remember that. If you've got no use for it, you're not interested in it, you know not hardly anything about the law of the Lord, and God is not the supreme love and affection of your life, you're not going to be so lovable. Because where that doesn't exist, then self-love and pride and you know, suspicion and hatred toward other people does exist. You can't love the law of God and love God. You can't say that honestly and openly and be real about it and not be a lovable person. Because the law of God, what is it about? You know, we've been through this so many times. What is moral law about? It's about how we treat each other on this planet. We got a bunch. If it was just me on the planet by myself, it wouldn't matter what I did. But there's a bunch of other people here. So it does matter what I do. It matters what you do. Moral law deals with that, that we don't violate one another, that we don't trespass against one another. That's what moral law is. I love thy law. David loved the law of God that stopped people from mistreating other people, that punished people who did it wildly and carelessly and full of hatred and selfishness. David loved the law of God because it dealt with those people. David loved the law of God because it kept people from doing that. Because David, if you love God, and if you love God's law, you're going to love other people. That's right. You can't hate other people and love God and love His law. Because that's a contradiction in terms. It won't work that way. So David loved the Lord. He loved his law. And he encouraged other people, "Oh, love the Lord, ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful." So David loved. He loved God, loved his law, he loved other people. He loved righteousness. What did David hate? You say, well, David didn't hate nothing. You can't love if you don't hate. There's no such a thing as north if there's no such a thing as south. And there's no such thing as hot if there's no such thing as cold. There's no east unless there's a west. And there's no love unless there's a hatred. There's two poles to this thing. God hates certain things. David hated certain things. Bible tells us plainly. David hated wickedness. Do you hate wickedness? Or are you indifferent about it? Or are you the one of those that don't think there's anything evil or good anymore, like the rest of the world? Everything's become common. Everything's the same. There's no good and there's no evil. It's only what you think in your heart. And all this stuff is socially constructed now, they say. You know, anything that's evil, they say it's not really evil, it's just a social construct. Baloney. God's law defines it very clearly, what's good and what's evil. You got a conscience in you that God put there that tells you what's good and what's evil also. So David hated some things. He hated wickedness, which is basically the abuse of other people. He didn't like it. People care more for animals now than they do other people. It hurts people more now to see a dog mistreated than it does a child. And that is wickedness. The righteous man considereth the life of his beast. You ought to care about animals, but care about animals and not about people? That's a bunch of junk. It's hypocrisy and baloney. If you care about anything, you ought to care about it all. David was that kind of a person. I guarantee you, David wouldn't have stood for you mistreating his animals any more than he would have stood for you mistreating his children, his servants, or anybody else. David didn't like to see anybody suffer. He said he's a man of war. Yeah, because there were some things he hated, like wickedness. And there's times when, for the greater good, that has to be done. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. That's all I got to say. And you don't believe in God because that's the way He is also. The Lord is a man of war. What the Bible says. Y'all know that? Do you know that's in there? David hated wickedness. It's basically the abuse and the injustice and the violence that people do to one another. He hated that. He hated to see people do that. He hated the work of people who hated God and His ways. Psalm 101, verse 3, David said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." I guarantee you, David wouldn't have had a television piping in all the junk. Listen what he said. "I hate the work of them that turn aside. So I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes." He wouldn't tune in to all this junk that they're poking down everybody's throat because everybody's got their mouth wide open to take it. David wouldn't do that. Why? Because he hated it. Boy, ain't too many people hates it nowadays. They love it. They love that and hate one another. They love that and hate the people of God. They love that and they hate righteousness. Anybody that says anything is wrong, they hate you. But they love all of the works of those that turn aside. Any movie they can make, any song they can sing, any kind of thing they can come up with to exalt their wickedness, everybody loves it. They don't hate it. People sit in church pews and they don't hate it. Well, that just answers the question why there's so much hatred around. You can't love when it's that way. The reason David was lovable was because he loved God, he loved God's law, he loved righteousness, he loved other people. And so he, that gives you wisdom and understanding and a whole and a bigger view of things. So you look at this human race and you see what they're doing and you hate the things that they're doing that cause all this misery and hatred and violence. He hated the work of the people who hated God. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So David made it real clear. He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He said, because I esteem, he said, therefore I esteem all thy precepts, he's talking about God, concerning all things to be right. David said, God is always right. And that's what I believe. That's the way I live. And that's the way I judge things. And that's the way I deal with people. And that's the way I treat other people. Because I believe God's right about everything. As long as you're that walking in that close relationship with God, you're going to be the kind of person that people can love and trust. If David had anything to say, you know, if David had anything to say, it was about the works of the wicked. You didn't hear David criticizing or finding fault with the righteous. You understand what I'm saying to you there? David didn't go around criticizing. He was not a despiser of them that are good. He was on the side of those that were good. He was on the side of righteousness because God's always right. And whatever God says, that's what I believe and that's where I'm going to be. And that's whose side I'm going to be on. He loved the good and he hated the evil. David hated vanity and foolishness. And his conversation was not about those things. You know, if you'd have sat down and talked to David, it would have been a conversation that would have took the high road and not the low road. Y'all listening to me? He didn't talk about nonsense like that. Because he hated vanity and foolishness. In Psalm 119, verse 113, David said, I hate vain thoughts. But thy law do I love. Again. So, if you talk to David, the conversation, you'd go away uplifted, encouraged. We've talked about David being a great encourager. That's why people were drawn to him. Because he had good things to say. You know why? Because he loved God's law. And he didn't sit around filling his mind with the songs and the talk and the philosophy and the foolishness and the vanity of the wicked. And that's what everybody does in our day. Now you might as well say amen because that's just how it is and you know that's the way it is. Everybody's filling their minds always with the junk from the world. And so there's nothing in here to say that's edifying and encouraging and helpful to somebody else. All we can do is repeat the memes we see or show them to somebody else or laugh at the foolishness. David wasn't that way at all. Reason David was such a special man. This is one of the reasons he loved God's law and he was full of it. It is my meditation day and night. And it was enough for him. You think David lived a bored life like a monk in a castle somewhere in the end of the world? No, that ain't it at all. No, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's the one that wrote all these songs. I read this morning about when they brought the ark down and they set everything up and had the service and everything, David brought him a song. He wrote a song and it's one of the psalms. This is what I want you to sing. What would it be like to have a king who loved the law of God and loved God and wrote songs about the law of God? Reckon you could like a guy like that? If you knew him, you would. David hated lying and anything false. Do you? Do you like fakery? Do you like hypocrisy? Do you like phonies? Or do you like what's real? I mean, we've got this little phrase we use around here, and some people do. We say they're real people. That means they're real people. They ain't fake and phony. They're not putting on, they're not two-faced. They're not going to smile at you and pat you on the back and tell you how much they love you and then turn around and stab you in the back. That's what we mean when we say real people. David hated everything phony like that. He said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. We've read that verse before already, but had to use it again here. Psalm 119, verse 104. Bible said this, David wrote this, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You'd be surprised how much reading and studying your Bible would clear up your discernment about what's right and wrong, what's good and evil, and how to recognize it. You'd be surprised. You'd be like David. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You'd hate a lot more about this evil, wicked world and what's going on around us if you knew what God said about it. And if you knew what God thought about it, if you knew His precepts, if you knew His law, so that you knew the mind of Christ and how He looks at this world, you would hate some more of these false ways that are around us. You kids need to listen to this. You're growing up in a world where they're trying to knock the whole foundation out from everything. And you need to get this. The law of God will set you straight. It'll give you a sound mind and an ability to discern between good and evil. He loved truth and He operated in the realm of truth. He hated lying and He hated anything phony and false. I do too. Now, I don't know about you. If you love lies, I don't know what's the matter with you. Why do you? That's where the world's at right now. They're living in lies and fantasy. It's all about pretending that you're a different gender. Pretending that you're something you're not. And then wanting everybody to go along with your childish playtime. Pretend games. Reality is reality. The sky's blue. It don't matter what color you want it to be, what color you say it is, it's blue. And it's black at night. And now that's the fact. That's the truth. David loved truth. I love truth. I don't like lies. I don't like falsehoods. And anything false, I don't like it. David didn't identify himself with wicked people. Now listen to this. Psalm 139, verse 21 and 22, David said, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." Well, now see, this depends on how much of this modern love religion you got your mind polluted with. How well you're going to understand this. Now that is from the King James Bible. That's what David said. It's out of one of the main books of the Bible, Psalm 139. One of the best psalms. One of the most encouraging psalms. And that's what he said. Deal with it. Understand it. Do the best you can. David said, "I hate them that hate thee." Now I don't know how you feel about it, but it just don't ring real good in my soul when somebody tells me they love me, but they love somebody who hates my ever-living guts. How can you be a friend? How can you have that kind of feeling for somebody who has that kind of feeling for me if you love me? Well, God is the same way. Don't tell me you love. If a man, the Bible says that if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if he that loveth the world, love the Father is not in him. To be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Well, now that's what the Bible says. Can't have it both ways. And that's what David's saying here. He was surrounded by him. David's men, his mighty men, his faithful, most loyal to the death men around him, his friends, the ones that would kill for him in a heartbeat. Most of them were wicked men. They weren't godly men. They didn't fear God. They didn't love the law of God. David had to rein them in over and over. And sure, they fought with him. They fought for him. But David didn't identify with them. And he made it clear all the way through that he didn't approve and he didn't agree with their wicked ways of thinking and doing things. He said, these sons of Azariah. I'm not saying it right. Say it again. Yeah, you sons of Zariah are too hard for me. Different times they said, let me take his head off. And he said, no. Abishai wanted to kill Saul laying there on the ground. Let me just do it. Abishai wanted to kill Shimei when he was leaving Jerusalem that day and throwing rocks and cussing David. He said, let me just take his head off. Dead dog cursing you? And David said, no. David had to deal with those kind of people just like you do and just like I do. We live among them. Sometimes they're our own family. Sometimes they're people we work with. But we're in the world, but not of the world. We don't identify with them. We don't approve of them. We don't compromise with them. David didn't either. He hated their ways. And those who identify with the wicked are never people that are truly loved. You know, I wish these politicians could learn that. And I wish everybody else could learn this. The preachers and the Christian so-called people of this country, if they could just learn that you can't side with evil and succeed. You can't. Ever, you know, all this fuss about Chick-fil-A and all this nonsense in the news this week. But you can just, and I don't believe they did, just to put it out there. I think it's the wicked just playing the foolish, shallow-minded Christians who will not think and will not, they can't even recognize truth anymore. They believe every lie that comes down the pipe, so they just throw it to them like a biscuit to a dog. And they run for it every time. But every company that does compromise with all this wickedness goes down the tubes. And every church that compromises with it goes down the tubes. And every person and family that compromises with it, they do too. You don't prosper when you go against God. And you're not blessed. And so, those who identify with the wicked are never people that are truly loved. Their memory is not going to be cherished because of their reputation. And here we are down the road 3,000 and some years since David, and David's still a name that rings. David's reputation stands. David's name is still blessed, and his memory is blessed. And all the wicked of his day are forgotten. The memory of the just is blessed, and the name of the wicked shall rot. David executed judgment and justice. Why did people love David? Because he was a fair man. He was not going to treat you wrong. 1 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 14. So David reigned over all Israel and executed judgment and justice among all the people. All his people, it says. All his people. If you dealt with David, you were treated fairly. You know, we could just go through, and there's examples and examples in David's life that the Bible gives us of how he dealt with people more than fairly. He gave more than due. He was merciful when anybody else wouldn't have been. You know? I thought about it this morning. And maybe I'm jumping ahead. Well, let me just wait a minute about that. If you were judged by David, you were treated with justice and mercy. That old Shimei that I mentioned a while ago, cursing and throwing rocks at David when he left, he got mercy. He didn't get justice. Bishai wanted to give him justice. David showed him mercy. Yes, he did. But, you know, I thought about that, and that's what I was just fixing to say, Jacob. You know, when David was dying, he gave these instructions to Solomon about Shimei. I was one of them, and some others. But he didn't order Solomon to get revenge. That wasn't what David was about. That was not in David's character. He said, you know what you need to do? Kill him. Did Solomon do that? No. He gave Shimei a chance. He said, you do not leave town. Well, he wouldn't. He broke the rules. And he ended up getting killed. But David knew how those people felt about him. And he didn't want them taking it out on his son. He just warned Solomon, here's the situation. You better be aware of it. And you better watch them guys. Because they will do you harm for my sake. The people that David had... You know, I've found it that way, and I've been in this for 40-some years now, in church work and all of this, and here's what I've found, and I hate to say it, but it's the truth. The people that you do the most for are going to be the people who hate you the most before it's all over. Yep. Had it over and over and over again. David experienced that too with these people that we just mentioned here. If you were an enemy of David, you were treated with mercy and you were offered forgiveness, just like Shimei. When David returned to Jerusalem after Absalom was dead and all that mess was over, who was the first one that met him on his knees begging for mercy and apologizing and saying, I didn't mean it, I didn't mean a word I said, I'm sorry, Shimei. What would anybody else have done? That'd have been put him down. David didn't he? Forgiveness. Let me tell you something. That'll make you a lovable person. If you'll just be willing to forgive. Do you understand how rare that is in the evil time that we're living in? Most people don't even believe that it is even possible to forgive. They're like the Pharisees, and only God can forgive sins. No. Well, how do you think that affected those people around David that we were just talking about, those wicked, rough men that were around him when they saw him do that? David did so many things like that. When they went and got him the water out of the well of Bethlehem, that's a hard thing to understand if you think shallow and you don't understand much. David said, "Oh, that I had a drink from the well at Bethlehem." Homesick and discouraged and lonesome. And those men heard him say it. And they said, "We'll take care of this." And they hazarded their lives. And they went to Bethlehem and got some water out of the well and brought to him. And said, here you go. And he poured it out on the ground. You think that was an offense to them? I don't, because I think they understood. I think David made it understood. He didn't do it as a in your face or I don't appreciate it. No, he said, if I drank this, it'd be like the blood of these men that hazarded their lives for me. I can't please myself at the expense of other people. That was David. When he numbered the people and God punished him for it and the plague fell, and David said, Lord, please, let it be on me and my house, not on these sheep. They didn't do anything. It was me. He wouldn't allow other people to suffer because of him. When you read the later Psalms and you read all the things that came upon him and his house because of his sin and transgression, you see the heart of David there. He knew that he was responsible for the suffering and the death that was happening. And that really grieved him. He wasn't the kind of person that says, well, I can't help it. I just couldn't help it, and it ain't my fault, and so what? He wasn't that at all. David didn't judge other people based upon hearsay and gossip and slander. Because like we talked about last week, David had enough of that in his own life. He knew how that felt. That's a transgression and a sin. And he didn't want no part of it. So you didn't go and tell David something about somebody else, evil. You remember the people that came announcing to David that Saul was dead, thinking they were going to get a reward for it? David did all he could to make right whatever wrong he had done to others himself. He even sought to do kindness, not just when he was asked, but he sought to do it. You remember when everything's settled and Saul's gone and David's the king, and he says, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Well, now that's the kind of person you can love, ain't it? The kind of person that seeks to do kindness to other people. Not the kind of person you got to drag it out of, squeeze it out of, shame it out of, and demand it out of. Somebody that goes seeking for a way to do somebody good. He's going to have people that love him. David had the blessing of God upon him. I'm just about done. Hang on. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. The Bible says this, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul in Israel, it says, when God had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said. Now this is God giving testimony about David. And God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So he had God's blessing. He had God's testimony on his life. I mean, now, like I said, I've been at this for quite a while now, a lot of years. And I can tell you this. I've never met a person who really obviously had God's blessing on their life. And I'm not talking about how successful they were at church building, or how successful they were at getting them in, or how successful they were at getting them to the altar. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who's got the blessing of God on them. The Spirit of God is all over them. Their spirit, the fragrance of their life just speaks of God. I've never met a person like that you don't just fall in love with. You don't hate them. You can't hate them. God is what they're all about, and God is all that you smell about them. David was like that. You got around David, you wasn't there no time till the conversation was about God. You felt God's presence around David. You got God's presence in his conversation, because he hated vain thoughts, and he hated lying, and he hated every false way, and he didn't talk about that stuff. Well, if you don't talk about all that, what do you talk about? Oh, God. The things of God, the law of God. He was so full of God. And he had God's blessing on him. That's why God said and gave this testimony, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who will fulfill all my will. He found favor with God and with men, like Jesus did in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. The Bible says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There's your good verse to exegete or whatever you want to say. Theologian, take that apart. Explain that one to me. Jesus increased in favor with God. Man. Well, I don't care. Whatever you want to think about it, but that's what it says. And that's the way David was. David increased in favor with God and man. Y'all get a hold of that? I know I've known a lot of independent Baptist preachers, and they gauged their spirituality by how many people hated them. You know, if they were more hated in the town they lived, they were considered more spiritual. Now, I ain't never believed that. I just don't believe that. I know the wicked will hate the righteous. Believe me, I know. Got enough experience about it. But I also know that if a man's ways please the Lord, it will cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, we mentioned it before, but old Brother Earl lived down there in that little old town in Tennessee, and he made that tape or disc of, well, it was a tape back then, of him singing and beating that old guitar, and it was, you know, if you didn't know Brother Earl, you'd think it was terrible. You'd be like Jason Fell's grandma, and she said, "What on earth is that noise?" But if you knew him, it was precious. And they told me, H told me, that he had to order two more cases of them tapes because everybody in the town where Brother Earl was from wanted one of them. They didn't hate him then. Ain't that something? It's 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That's quite a record, isn't it? How many other people in the Bible could that be said about? Could it be said about Abraham? No. Isaac? No. Anybody? It's not said about anybody in the Bible but David, that he has kept all that I commanded him all the days of his life except one time. And we just might add right there, yeah, it was terrible what he did. The worst. Couldn't have been the worst. But David repented, and he didn't hesitate either. And he truly did repent. True godliness, and he never did anything like that again, by the way. That's what repentance, real repentance is. You turn, you don't do it no more. True godliness will make you a lovable person. Now the wicked may rise against you, and there will certainly be those who hate you, but it'll be those who don't really know you, but judge you by the lies and slander of the wicked. Again, I can say that. I've experienced that too. I know there's a few people in the world that really hate me. I guess. But they don't know me. Without exception, they're the ones who don't know me. They're the ones who will not ask me, will not talk to me. They believe what they've heard, and they don't want to know any different. So that's the way it is. Amen. Now, why was David loved? Well, I think it's for those reasons, and a bunch more, without a doubt. Well, why don't you stand with me? We'll have a word of prayer here. The thing to do about this is to be this kind of a person. Strive to be this kind of a person. How? Well, you walk with God. You do just like David did. Do you think he was born this way? No. But I think since he was the son of Jesse, I believe Jesse had much to do with it. I do. Or he wouldn't be given so much credit in the Bible. 25 times he's the son of Jesse. Somebody built Gary, like he's talking in Sunday school. Somebody prepped that arrow. That's right. David was an arrow in the hand of a mighty man named Jesse. And Jesse prepped David in such a way that David loved God and sought after God and walked with God. So we owe quite a bit to Jesse, don't we? The world owes quite a bit to that man. Don't you think? How do you get to be a person like this? Where do people like this come from? Well, again, the verse in Psalm 127 Gary used in Sunday school, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord makes people like this, but he doesn't just do it arbitrarily. There's other factors involved. You have to seek the Lord while he may be found. You have to call upon him while he is near, because he's not always near, and he can't always be found. This is not on us where we can just call anytime, anywhere, and God's just like a vending machine or an automatic answering machine. He just, no, it ain't that way. Or the Bible wouldn't say that. David sought the Lord, and he found him. And he walked with God, and he was this kind of person. And you and I are not going to be this kind of person unless we do the same. We're going to have to seek the Lord and walk with him. We're going to have to know his precepts and his ways. And you'll find life with other people, it's not going to be free of problems, but it'll sure be a lot easier than being an Ishmael fighting against every man and every man against you. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths we've talked about this morning. I know these are things that the devil don't want said, and he don't want people to understand these things. I pray, Lord, you'd hush him this morning and stop him and stifle him, that he wouldn't be able to steal this word from the hearts of those who hear it. Lord, we need this. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. And I pray that we would, and that we would strive to be lovable. There's the key that opens it all up. If we would just treat one another as, and esteem one another as better than ourselves, it'd make us all a lot more lovable instead of trying to trample over the top of one another. Please help us, Lord, to represent you well in this world we live in. We're your ambassadors in this time, in this generation. So help us, Lord, to serve our generation as David did in love and righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.